It's a commonplace among Jewish teachers and rabbis to say that we came into the world, the Jewish people, to teach the world something. We're supposed to be Or LaGoyim, a light to the nations. And that works until you ask, what is it that we're supposed to teach? Because most of the answers as to what we are supposed to teach are either too general to be helpful, to teach other people to be good, or they've already succeeded. If we've come into the world to teach people that there should be one God, well, a lot of the world believes that. In as much as they believe there's any God, they believe there's one. And even though we may be the source of that teaching, the way Franz Rosenzweig said that the Jewish people are the sun and Christianity is the rays of the sun, it spreads the message out to the world. But does that mean that having succeeded in that, we should now disband? Were we an ad hoc committee to explain one God to the world and now we're through? Well, I think there are probably lots of possible reasons why the world still needs the Jewish people, but there actually is a central lesson that only in history, only the Jews could teach. That is so important, especially today, that in some ways, I think, for the first time, the whole world is becoming Jewish. Not literally, but in this way, a powerful and important way, what happened to us is happening to everyone. Let me explain. For most of human history, the city you were born in, even the house you were born in, is the house you lived in and the house you died in. The people that you knew as a child were the people that you knew as an adult, and the same with your children and your children's children. The experience of most human beings through most of history was to never know anyone unlike you. When you see, even in the 20th century, when you see, for example, a musical like The Music Man, what's the big news at The Music Man? A stranger has come to town. It changes everything. Because for most of human history, strangers didn't come to town. And everybody lived in their little enclaves, never knowing what it was to be different and never needing to deal with what it was to be different. Because everyone was the same and everyone lived there. That's why, even in the Jewish tradition, when a child was born, you would plant a tree, and when they were married, you would use the branches of that tree to make the chuppah, which meant that you hadn't moved, and that the tree would grow up, and you would eventually have that tree as the marker of your life. But as we know, that ideal, which was true for most people, for most of history, was never so true for the Jews. It starts this morning. They're planted in their land, they're in Canaan, and the first thing that happens once they live in Canaan is they gotta go to Egypt. And they're gonna be in Egypt, and then they're gonna go back to Canaan, and they're gonna leave again. The Jews are the first global people. We lived everywhere. The Frenchmen lived in France, the Babylonians lived in Babylonia, the Russians lived in Russia, and the Jews lived everywhere. One of the reasons why there was an international trading ring of Jews was because anywhere you went, you could find a Jew. Nobody alive could master the number of languages in which the Jewish people have written. because you'd have to master almost every language on the globe. Maybe there are a couple of dialects in New Guinea that we didn't get to yet. But apart from that, everything. And by the way, the reason we could be a global people was because we had a global God. If your God was a tribal God, then you never wanted to leave your area, because as soon as you walked over the border, your God wouldn't protect you anymore. But once the Jews came up with this idea that God was the same everywhere, then you could pray anywhere. It's the reason why the Jews invented the synagogue. Why didn't other peoples invent this portable mishkan, this portable tabernacle? Because they couldn't go outside the border, because as soon as they did, they lost the protection of their God. But we were global, we were universal, and we were persecuted. So we never stayed in one place very long. It's why, by the way, you may not know this, an interesting little trivial fact of Jewish history that points to an underlying sadness. The reason that a synagogue in Yiddish is called a shul, so shul doesn't mean synagogue, shul means school. So why do you call a synagogue a school? Because in the Middle Ages, when Jews were brought in, when the governments needed them, and kicked out when they decided they didn't anymore, one of the most common pieces of anti-Jewish legislation was you may come back into the city or the country, but you may not build a synagogue except on land where there already was a synagogue. So if you need more land, you can't take it. Now, as you might imagine, first of all, populations expand, and second, land that was once synagogue land has now been built over with other things, including churches, and no way they were going to let Jews build a synagogue there. So what did the Jews say? We're not building a synagogue. We're building a shul. We're building where our kids can study. That's all. Everybody needs schools. And the fact that they happened to pray in the school was secondary, because, as you know, Jews can pray anywhere. So built into the fabric of our language is this wandering, is this global reality. Now, for a long time, this was true essentially only of the Jews. There was, later in history, there developed one or two other global people, like, for example, what we call the Gypsies, right? The Romanians, some of them, who also wandered, but mainly through Europe. But the Jews were the only global people that lived everywhere, from China to Latin America to North America to Asia, every continent, Europe, Western and Eastern. And that's why the philosopher Hermann Cohen says, in the idea of the stranger was discovered Judaism. Ki gerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You know what it is to be different. Now fast forward to the 21st century. For the first time in human history, all over the world, people are discovering that there are people unlike themselves. It's no longer taken for granted, almost anywhere in the world, that where you're born is where you're going to end up. Migration, immigration, depending on how you look at it, is true all over the globe. And not only that, but the internet and television and radio and telephones and all the apparatus of modern communication constantly brings into our living rooms the reality that other people are not like us. And the whole world is becoming Jewish. All of a sudden, people are discovering what Jews always knew, which is people are different in different places. Who knew? We did. Even if you read the Jewish legal literature, you'll see the rabbis in Germany say that we know that what we're ruling here is not the same as the rabbis would rule in Israel, because they're in different conditions from the conditions here. Jews in Christian lands understood that Jews in Muslim lands require different laws, because we always knew what it was to be different because we were different. And we lived among majority populations that were not like us. And so we made difference a virtue. We didn't see difference as a bad thing. We believed in what Rabbi Sacks from England calls the dignity of difference. And while the rest of the world assumed everybody should be Christian, everybody should be Muslim, no Jewish thinker in Jewish history ever said everybody needs to be Jewish. Because we understood that you can be different and be okay. We never insisted that all the world believe the same thing. We said, we'll believe this, you can believe that, and it's okay. L'chol tzadikei umot ha'olam yesh lehem chelek ba'olam haba. It says that several times in Talmudic literature. Every righteous person of any faith can have a place in the world to come. You don't have to be Jewish. What the world is beginning to discover is if we don't accept the reality that others can be different and okay, the world won't make it. And if there is any single lesson that the Jewish people has lived and knows in its bones and can teach the world, it is the lesson of Joseph. I live in Egypt. It's not my culture, but I can be okay here. I can bring my brothers in and we can live here and it will be okay. And when it becomes not okay, we'll go somewhere else. But we don't repudiate the principle. We don't deny the possibility that people of different backgrounds can live together and respect each other's differences. It's why Jews have done so well in America. Because other groups have come to America and they resent the difference of other people around them, but we're used to it. Because wherever we came from, doesn't matter where you came from, we were different there too. There was no Jew land that we came from to migrate to America. There was Poland. But there was no Jew land. There was no one place where all Jews were the same, and that was the only kind of person there was. We grew up understanding difference in our bones. We live in a world in which it is no longer possible to shut out the other. Borders are porous. We live among people unlike us. And even the borders between nations don't mean what they once did. Because it is so easy, through all the modern facilities of communication, to bring the ideas and the customs and the assumptions of another culture into your home with the click of a button. And the world is going to have to learn what it is not just to tolerate, but to accept the fact that other people are different. And if they want to know how, they should look to us. Because we were born being different. And we have always been different. And we have always believed that that's good. And in our difference, we have never insisted that everybody else be like us. As the Kotzke Rebbe so beautifully said, if I spend my life being like someone else, who's going to be me? So when people talk about being unique, about being different, and then can't stand the fact that someone's different from them, we know what the answer to that is. Because we're the ones who introduced to the world the idea of a God who, as the Talmud says, unlike a king who stamps coins and every coin looks exactly alike, God stamps faces and every face is unique. We believe in difference. We think it's good. We think it makes the world more interesting, more colorful, richer, better, more creative, more in the image of God. So we do have an important task in this world. To be an Or LaGoyim, a light to the nations, means in our day to teach the nations that we don't all have to be one. That the idea of one universal sameness is not better than the idea of lots and lots and lots of difference. That we're not a melting pot. We're a mosaic. We all have different colors to contribute. We know this. We have always known it. We knew it from the time of Joseph, and we do today. And if the world is to survive, then it will have to learn it too. Ki mitzion teitze Torah u'devar Adonai miYerushalayim. What was true in the time of Isaiah is true today. That God's word is enshrined in the Torah. And that message comes from Jerusalem. Shabbat Shalom.